Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. Today, our guest on Voices is a long-term friend of mine and a long-term friend of Slidell, Dr. John Pat Galloway. Welcome, Pat. Welcome to Voices.
Bob, it's really good to see you again. It's been a while, and I can't tell you how much better it feels to have you back in my life again.
Amen. You're very kind. You're very kind. Let me ask you some questions. One of the things that seems to be rampant in our society today is the subject of addiction. We hear about drug addiction. We talk about alcohol addiction and even addiction to food, addiction to sex, addiction to Shoppers Network. Just addiction, these things that people do seemingly in order to cope with life. I'm pretty well convinced that our addictions are things that we adopt in our life to try to cope. And I'm wondering, can you help us with this a little bit to understand if maybe the issues in our life are what drive us to addiction? Maybe the issues in our life of inadequacy or fear, maybe those things are the things that drive us to addiction. Is there a relationship between those two things?
I think that what we're trying to do is look for an absolute cause of addiction, and it really doesn't exist. Let's take it away from the intellectual point and bring it down to something that you and I know something about, which is life. You got fear. I got fear. I get anxieties. My God, you saw me go through tons of anxiety when you and I were trying to do business together. And I had a good solution back then. My solution was to drink as much as I could when I could and take pills to augment the alcohol when it wasn't appropriate to be drinking, which got to be less and less appropriate as time went on. Culminated in you starting your Christian journey one night, you and two of our friends put me in a treatment center up in Baton Rouge. And that was my introduction to addiction. I thought everybody else had addictions, but I didn't. I thought mine was exactly what you said, a coping mechanism. If you had the tension and the anxiety that I did, you'd be drinking too. I thought that was a normal thing. The problem is that drugs and alcohol let you down. The very thing that helped you feel better begins to take over your life. And you begin to think that you're omnipotent, you're powerful, you can do anything. I used to say, give me a couple of shots of gin and I can wing walk. I can get on a plane, walk on a wing. It wouldn't bother me. But I couldn't even get in a plane. So alcohol gives you this self feeling of confidence, and you begin to behave that way, and all your fear goes away. But it's temporary. It doesn't last very long. In the mental health field, I look at it and I say, man, if I could give some people that are experiencing anxiety, if I could give them a fifth of gin a day and a couple of Valium, it would go away. And it's true. It goes away temporarily. But what happened? The gin and the alcohol, you distance yourself from your friend. Instead of looking at you to see what you need, I'm looking at how long that gin and this pill is going to make me feel better. Am I going to be able to keep a case of beer iced down in my truck long enough to do what I need to do every day? Those kind of things begin to take over your feelings. So I don't know anything about you. I don't know anything about my children. All I know is about me. And that's where God doesn't want me to be. God wants me to be aware of a quality of life that I had never known before. And that quality of life has to do with me feeling so good about what He does for me on a moment-by-moment basis that I forget about myself. And I use this energy and I use this happiness not to go out and tell everybody they ought to be a Christian, but in my behavior you see it and people say, what's happened to him? People say, what did you do different? Or start getting wanting to be around you. And they start behaving like you. That's what addiction is all about. It's moving a person, or addiction treatment, it's moving a person from thinking about themselves, and thinking about themselves as being crazy, inappropriate. People might say, well, I never felt that way. That's not so. You're not examining yourself. If you were born in this world, there has been a point in your life at some time where you have felt bad about yourself. And whenever you and I feel bad about ourselves, that's an indication that we're moving away from God. So that's a fear. We've got to start being aware of that.
So we use the alcohol, drugs, food, we use that to give us satisfaction when the reality is there's a greater satisfaction than we've ever known when our pride, because you were talking about I could do anything. I can wing walk. I could conquer the world with a fifth of gin.
You and I were going to be multimillionaires within 3 weeks. That is an impossibility.
No, we tried.
We tried it. Tried to do it. It took a longer time. It went broke. But that kind of thing just doesn't happen. We set up unrealistic goals. Well, all really any kind of addiction is getting out of yourself and getting into what's going on around. I have no anxiety now. That's what it's all about. We're not sure we want to get out of ourselves completely. We want to maintain that control. See, I'm sure now, though, that I don't have a solution for anything. I have to look to God for direction.
But I think what I hear you saying is that we really need to be outside of ourselves, that we're not even capable of human beings of all that we could be within ourselves, that we really need to ask Christ into our life. We really need to have a Christ-centered life to be able to be all that he could be. We served overseas for a long time as missionaries, and people would ask me, say, what are the people over there like? You know, what do they want? What are their goals in life? I said the same as yours. They want their kids to grow up to be good kids. They want to provide for their families. They want to have peace in their life. They want to move away from anxiety and difficulty. The solution to all of that is a life centered on Christ.
You and I are about the same generation. I'm older than you, but if you remember back in the 60s and 70s, maybe early 80s, we were looking for a life that you could get out of a bottle. And there were a lot of pop tunes around then, you know, that you're going to be living, you're going to feel like the pill you take today. That was the goal. And that was symbolic of what's happening in our life. We're looking for something that's going to make us feel the same way all the time. And we say that that is peace. That is comfort. That ain't peace. There's no excitement attached to that. Everybody would like to relax. But you know, there's a joy that you don't get by doing that. And that's what addiction's all about. When somebody tries to get rid of an addiction, they think, well, if I can just be abstinent, if I can just get away from it, then that means I'm cured. No, because your mind's still working. Your mind's still, it's working 24/7, and it's working harder. And then you say, well, I'm going to go to church. Well, yeah, you can go to church. But when you're in church, you better start talking to those people around you about what's going on with you, because you're going to still remain isolated. You go sit in that pew and you're going to say, okay, God, you do it. That's not the way God works. God works in your life by, God works in my life by letting me talk to people and letting me listen to them. And then I learn from that.
Well, from what you're saying, would you say that isolation is maybe one of the symptoms when we isolate ourselves, that the only important person in our life is us, that nobody else has any answers, nobody else can help me? It's just me by myself in here. Would that be something of a symptom that maybe there are addictive behaviors either in our present condition or maybe even in our future that we should be looking to build relationships? Somebody told me one time that the God that we serve is a God who wants relationship and that he wants us to have relationship with each other. How important is relationship or other people in the process of recovery?
God works in me through other people, through you. I would not have told you the things that go on in my life had you not been so open with me. And if you listen to what other people say, these deep, dark secrets that you're hiding aren't so deep, dark. Most everybody knows about them, and everybody goes through them. That's what Christ is telling you. You know, people try to hide from God. How can he be a God if you go, how are you able to hide from?
Well, you know, I remember the scripture that says that Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I understand that scripture to be one of total transparency. We have nothing to hide that people already know, as you just eloquently said, our secrets. And it's just a matter of being transparent with people and being transparent with ourselves. Not to kid ourselves, but rather to understand that, yeah, we do have issues. But the answer to our issues is not by trying to cover it up with an addictive behavior. The answer to our issue is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you don't have to face the fact that you don't have any money to pay your bills if you go down and you get a pill or you drink something to alter your behavior. It doesn't bother you. But if you have to go in and talk to somebody about, look what I've done, you're going to think a little bit different. You're going to face reality. And that's what addiction is all about. Moving you in addiction treatment, moving the person moving from a life that totally destructive and self-centered to one of happy and peace and joy. And it doesn't mean you're never going to feel bad. Feeling bad is part of life. How would I know how to be able to change something? How would I know, for example, how to how not to pick up a skillet if it didn't burn my hand. I mean, that's the same thing psychologically. If I do the same thing over and over and over again and expect the same result, don't they call that being crazy or having a, well, that's the same thing.
That's the basic definition of insanity.
But we do that as non-Christians, and we do that as people that don't think about anybody but ourselves all the time. I remember arguing with you over a budget. I'll never be put on a budget. Guess who's on a budget? I'm on a budget. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I wanted to be different. I wanted to have enough money so I wouldn't have enough budget. But I could be on a budget and still have more than I need. That concept never came through to me before.
Well, you know, if there are people listening to us today, as you had said earlier, you didn't even know that you were addicted. You know, you understood that this was the way you lived your life. But
I knew something was wrong.
Okay.
You had to be honest enough with yourself to know something's wrong. If you got three DWIs and your parent and your friends aren't talking to you and your kids aren't coming around and you can't pay your bills and you're still saying, I'm okay, and it's because somebody else did this to me, you got some problem.
Well, now, it sounds like it has a whole lot to do with accepting responsibility. You know, the people who are the woe is me people, it's always somebody else's fault. You know, I can't pay my bills because I have three DWIs, therefore it's the police's fault because I had to pay the ticket. Therefore, I can't pay my bills. You know, when we start accepting responsibility for who we are and then be able to go back to our Creator and to be able to say, you created me, help me to deal with the realities of my life.
And that's where you came in. When you got saved, you did it by changing your life, by giving it to God, and you acknowledged the evil in your life. People don't acknowledge the evil in their life. Just as God is working all the time, there's this little devil that sits on my shoulder. And he's always there. He's never gone away. I want him to go away, but he talks to me. Well, you might not have to do that today. You might want to just do this today. That's real. That does not ever leave. It does not ever leave. You choose not to listen to it, but that little sucker's there day in and day out. And he's doing push-ups. He's going to be ready to get you. So you got to have something around you if you're going to go through a troubling time or addictive process where you can help deal with that little fella. Because he's not a big old guy. He's just a little old bitty fella. And he's working, but he's working diligently. He's like that little road runner that keeps running so fast. He's trying to catch up. But he's getting beat out. He's getting beat up every day.
I'm thinking that some of the people who are listening to us today may be caught in his trick bag. And then maybe they're saying, you know, Pat, this is good. This is good. This is helpful. I see myself. You're talking about me. What would you say is the first step and maybe a couple of subsequent steps to making the transition that you've made, the transition of dealing with that little guy sitting on your shoulder? What are the first steps and maybe some of the subsequent steps?
The transition I made is acknowledging where I am. I'm not cured forever. I'm not going to be saved forever. There might be some religious denominations that say different things, but in my mind, in my relationship with God, that little fellow's working hard, and I have to work just as hard or harder to stay in contact. So the first step I'm going to make, if I'm like that, taking a look at myself. But you got to do it with somebody else. And go do it with somebody that you trust.
Okay.
And find out where you are. Like I used to bare my soul to you and tell you what was going on. That was a start. Maybe some of the times I didn't handle it right, but at least it was a start. If I could trust one person, then I might be able to trust somebody else. And you know, God leads us with His Spirit. When two people, I think there's a Bible verse to this, but it's also common sense. When two or more people get together, somebody's got the right idea. It might be some bad ones in the bunch, but somebody's going to have the right idea that's going to be attractive. So I think I'd go in that direction. Now, if you don't have anybody, the best place to find somebody like this is you call Bob Riles or go to your local community where people get together. People go to church not because they're good. They go to church because they're hypocrites. They go, if you think they're all good, then you're going because that's wrong. You go to church because everybody in there is bad, just like you. And they're trying to keep from doing it again. And they have to have that replenishment over and over and over again. If you go into church because you want to look good to other people, you can do that. And maybe something will take hold. I don't know. That was the reason I used to go to church. I went to church because I wanted people to see me in church. Didn't have anything to do with my behavior. I want everybody else to change their behavior, and I was going to leave mine the same.
Well, Pat, this has been a great time that we spent together today. Is there anything else that you think our listeners in Slidell would benefit by hearing from you right now?
You know, you and the group that you're with, I'm aware of, y'all are doing great work, and keep it up. You do it, and you don't ask anything for it. You just do it. My change has to be small, one step at a time. Some people are braver than I am.
Well, you know, it takes all of us to make the program work. It takes all of our different personalities. It takes all of our different giftings. If everybody was exactly the same, first of all, what a boring place. But secondly, we would never reflect the reality of God. He is so magnificent, so multifaceted, so incredible, that if not one of us can fully fathom His magnificence. So it takes you with your part of His magnificence, it takes me with whatever He gifted me with, and all those around us, that if we all collaborate and we accept and love the differences in each other, we come a whole lot closer to reflecting who He is. And that's our big job. That's what we're all about, is reflecting Christ in a positive way, bringing glory to the name of Jesus is what it's all about.
You've certainly done that. And, you know, we ought to give our friend Pat Berrigan a little acknowledgement here. That man has been consistent throughout his life. He's helped more people, and nobody knows about it, but he just helps people in a consistent fashion, and he's never changed. Never changed.
Well, he's been a good man. He's been a good man in my life and been a good friend for a long time. And the fact that the three of us still care about each other and love each other after all the roads that we've all been down is in itself a tribute to the God's grace and mercy. Well, thank you, Pat. We really appreciate you spending the time with us today. And I hope maybe you'll come back and talk to us again in the future.
I enjoy being around you, Bob.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment or you can send us a text. We'd love to know what's going on with you. And if you have comments about this program today, please let us know. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and leave a comment there. But also, we have a website, graceradioofslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-deductible donation. It takes listeners like you to keep this program coming and keep the program fresh and bright. So again, you can call us, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.